Good morning. It is June the 7th, and welcome to Life Creek Church, coming to you from my home. And I am very grateful that we can at least do this together. It is a blessing that while we're in quarantine and apart, that we can come together in this way. It has really helped us, I think, very much. So this morning, I want to continue in our narrative sermon series coming from the book of Acts that we started last week with Acts chapter 1. And last week, I told you that Jesus had said that wait for the Holy Spirit to come to his disciples, and he will bring you power to become witnesses into the world, into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the earth. And so the Holy Spirit comes to give you power. And I asked you, and I wanted you to challenge yourself last week, power for what? Do you need the Holy Spirit's power to be the Christian you are? And I asked that question sincerely, because you didn't get power just to sit in the pew. We are to be his witnesses. Now, there are a variety of ways to witness, and that's very true. But we should be asking the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us, to lead us, and to empower us to be witnesses, however that is, whether that's in your work or outside your work and in your neighborhood, with your friends, with your family, and perhaps to the uttermost parts of the earth, in Korea, in Bolivia, in Micronesia. Amen? All right. So today we're moving on. We're moving on to chapter 2, and I want to share that with you. And the title of this sermon is called A Mighty Wind. A Mighty Wind. Now, today, I want to take the scripture and apply it to our world today, because we are in need of addressing some very critical things in our world, and that mainly is the racism, violence, police brutality that is going on in our nation, and we need to address that. I believe that Christians must address events in the world and not just sit back and have a Bible study, because if we can't apply God's word to what is going on around us, then it's just, Rhonda calls it mind candy, something to give us something to think about in our minds, and maybe self-reflection, but we have to challenge ourselves in how we respond in the world and how we act in the world and how the world influences us as well. So today, even in this narrative, we are going to talk about the racism, the evil of racism, that sin that has been so much in the news right now with the protests after the death of George Floyd. We need to address that. We will address that. But we want to be directed by God's word. So let's do that, okay? And I want to give us that anchor verse this morning. Acts 2:2-4. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's go ahead and pray. Wouldn't that be wonderful for a mighty wind to come to us today, right in your home? Come, Holy Spirit, fill us again. I believe when it says that the Holy Spirit fills us, we are filled and we pour out. And then we fill again by the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit and we pour out. Last week, we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, immersed in the Holy Spirit, just surrounded, immersed in the Holy Spirit. And it just can't help but come out. that we start testifying under the power about Jesus Christ and God in our lives. So let's pray for that wind, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Give us that ability to witness, even in these times, these very dark times of this racism that we can see so plainly in our world today. Lord, bring that wind over us. Your Holy Spirit, that we are immersed in you and we are filled to overflowing about God and his love. Lord God, come. Holy Spirit, give us direction. Teach us about these scriptures today. And teach us on how to reach others with your love, with your forgiveness. Not from a position of power, but from a position of equality. As servants to them. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and look at that verse again. And I just want to go on. It was the day of Pentecost when this happened. We talked about that last week. The day of Pentecost is 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And that was celebrated last Sunday, which was 42 days. There's a little movement there. And that was the time when Jesus was taken back into heaven or rose into heaven. And the disciples were standing there and go, what's going on? And the Holy Spirit then came like that wind and filled them. So it was the day of Pentecost. Pentecost in the Old Testament, in Jewish times, was a day of celebration for the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And Jesus is our first fruit. He is the first to raise from the dead, first fruits. And I want to pick up with verse 4 again. So this wind comes, they're filled, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I will tell you that many people, they kind of avoid preaching on this, but we're working our way through the books of Acts. We're hitting the highlights, and certainly this one's the highlight. It is the birth of the church. And the Holy Spirit came with power, and the Holy Spirit changed their lives from that moment forward. Peter, the disciples that were hiding when Jesus was being crucified, now they're ready to die for their faith. They were empowered. Power of the Holy Spirit came on them, and they begin to testify. And right after this, Peter speaks out in front of everyone. He's no longer afraid. He's under the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking out to everyone. But prior to that, prior to his sermon coming later in this chapter, what happens is they all start speaking in these tongues. It says tongues. Tongues comes from the word, you've probably heard this before, glossolalia. Glossolalia in the Greek. Glossolalia simply means, it means languages. So don't get all, you know, uncomfortable with the word tongues. Tongues just means languages. This is a miraculous event. It's supernatural. The Holy Spirit comes and they start speaking in different languages. Now, this is picked up then in the next verse. Let's go to verse 5 and see what more is going on. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mockingly said, they are filled with new wine. There's a lot there to unpack, as people like to say. And I'm not going to unpack it all, but we're going to hit some highlights. So verse 4, they were speaking in other languages. And verse 5 starts listing all these people that were there from all the nations around, and they start hearing in their own language. So what's going on? Are they hearing or are they speaking, or is it both? I think it's both. Now, so they're speaking in unknown languages. Now, I want to clarify and give you at least something to think about when we think about unknown languages, because Pentecostals, the Pentecostal religion, believes that people still continue to speak in tongues. And there was this movement in 1902 that began out in California, where people began to speak in tongues, and it was this gift of the Holy Spirit, and it was like it came back. And so now there are Pentecostals all over the world. First, let's not be mocking them. You see what it says at the end of this? Others came mocking. Mocking doesn't do any good. It doesn't show us in any unity with brothers and sisters. Second, the Pentecostals are now all over the world and are the largest growing, fastest growing Christian denomination. So are they empowered? Is there something different? I'll have to leave that to you. But let's talk about these other languages and other tongues. Some people get very nervous about this subject, and I don't want you to be nervous. And here's the way I'm going to say it. If I'm speaking in English like I am now, if I'm praying in English, can God understand me? Well, how can he? English wasn't a language that came out of the Tower of Babel. Remember what happened in the Tower of Babel? I think it's chapter 12, 11 or 12 of Genesis. It said that all the people were of one mind. Very interesting. All the people were of one mind, and nothing would be impossible to them because they were united, and they were building this huge, huge tower. And God saw it necessary to separate the people and divide their languages, and they were divided then. But English was not one of them. English was created later. I'm not an expert at this, but English has Greek in it. English has Latin in it. English has, other languages, French. They combined and different words. And what has happened is English is put together. To the people at the Tower of Babel, no one would have understood in English. It would have sounded like babbling. Just, noises, right? So keep that in mind. Can God understand it? Of course he can. Because these words that I'm speaking, these syllables, are just expressions of my heart and my mind. So can God understand that? I think we would all say, what kind of question is that? Yes, of course he can. What about deaf people? They speak with their hands. They do sign language. And can God understand that? Well, I would say, of course they can. Of course God can. The deaf community is speaking with their mind, with their heart, and they're communicating to God. When they're praying to God, they're praying with their hands. And God can understand that. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever been so sick you can't really talk? I've been in a coma 3 times and for different reasons. I had meningitis. I was a Christian. I was 28 years old. I had meningitis. That was very difficult. And I remember barely coming out of it, and I couldn't even speak. And I just moaned. Oh, Could God understand what was in my heart from my moan? I think he could. And there are words that I cannot express. Can God understand when I'm trying to express it? I think he can. Now, for those people who are speaking in tongues, as it is called in Pentecostalism, if you talk to them, they'll tell you, I'm praying to God. I am speaking in this language that the Holy Spirit is empowering me to do this, and I'm expressing to God things that only the Holy Spirit understands. Well, do you think God can understand that? In Romans chapter 8, let me flip over there real fast, okay? Romans chapter 8, I want to just read this quickly to you. We've read it before. Well, it says that, now let me find it. It says, here we go. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. This is verse 26. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I will tell you that Pentecostals believe that's exactly what they're doing. The groanings that they may speak when speaking in tongues are prayers to God, and they believe they are speaking the Spirit of God. Can God understand that? Of course he can. Of course. And they're speaking from their heart. Now, this isn't a lesson on speaking in tongues, but I wanted to give you some background, because we shouldn't try to find things that separate us from other Christians. We've got to see what brings us together and not keeps us apart. And I believe it was Augustine, but I might be wrong, said, or maybe it was Aquinas, they said, unity in the essentials and diversity in the non-essentials. The way you pray, and charity in all things, okay? So keep this in mind. Let's look at our brothers and sisters. We need to have unity in the essentials. What are the essentials? Jesus is God. He came to die for our sins. He died and paid the price for our sins and offered to us forgiveness for those sins. And we respond by belief, right? By having faith in that. He died, was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's alive. If we believe that with our hearts and say it with our mouths, we shall be saved. Jesus came to do that. This is the essentials. Jesus, our Savior, came to rescue us. That's our essentials. We need to have unity in the essentials. Pentecostals believe that. The Presbyterians believe that. The Baptists believe that. Methodists believe that. These are the essentials. Diversity in the non-essentials. So the way we pray, our form, how it takes place may be different. It's a non-essential. How you believe about how Jesus is going to return is a non-essential. Do you see what I'm saying here? Instead of finding things that keep us apart and mocking one another over those things, we need to find the things that bring us together, because we're more powerful together. Now, let me tell you something interesting. Another note of interest on the speaking of tongues. I just talked about the Tower of Babel. In the Tower of Babel, people were separated because the languages became diverse. and they couldn't speak to one another anymore. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, these people here in Acts were brought back together. Everybody could understand one another. That's an incredible miracle. And what does it say? It says nothing is impossible with God. Remember in Genesis at the Tower of Babel, God said nothing can be impossible for these people. We're going to have to separate their languages. Now he says, as a Christian believer, we can have the same language in Acts chapter 2. And that language literally doesn't matter. It is whatever you are speaking, because you are speaking to God. And diverse people can come back together. And through Christ, nothing shall be impossible again. That's incredible. Think about that. If you don't know what I said, run that back. Listen to that again. Because as Christians, as Pentecostal Christians, Methodist Christians, Lutheran Christians, Presbyterian Christians, Independent Christians, as Christians joined together, we each have a place in the body. And in Christ, we are in Christ in that body. Nothing is impossible for us. Amen. That doesn't happen if we continue to divide. Now, I do want to relate that to what is going on in our world, but let's move on a little bit first. These people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. This is Peter now. Peter is preaching a little bit later in the chapter, in verse 16. And he begins to talk about, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. There is no respecter of persons. He did say on white Christians, on Anglo Christians, on Korean Christians, on African American Christians. He says on all flesh. God is pouring out his power, his spirit on everyone, not Jews only, everyone. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone. But when Cephas came to Antioch, now this is from Galatians, okay? And I'm bringing this out because, remember, the church is struggling to find out who they are. And Cephas came to Antioch, whether that's Peter or not, you know, that many people feel it is. It came to Antioch. I opposed him. Now, this is Paul talking. I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. The certain men from James are more Jewish. He was eating with the Gentiles, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And that's Jewish Judaizers, okay, Jewish people, people of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? And what Paul is talking about here is he is saying, you're trying to make the Gentiles behave like the Jewish people. And you're being a hypocrite. You're sitting here, you're eating with the Gentiles, then you leave, you go over here because you're afraid of what the Jews will say. And the church is unsure of what's going on. How do the Gentiles fit? But it is clear that the Spirit is poured out on all flesh and that there is no ethnic divide any longer. We think of this of the Jews in the Old Testament. We call them, and they call themselves, God's chosen people. The chosen people. But they were chosen for a task. They were chosen for a purpose, and that purpose was to be the light unto the world, to reflect to the world what God's kingdom and blessings look like. But they didn't do it. So Jesus had to come and do it for them. He was Jewish, and he became the light of the world, and he brought his kingdom, and he made it available to everyone, not just the Jews. There is not one people that is greater than another people. We do have cultural differences, and there's nothing wrong with that. And how beautiful will heaven be when all cultures are gathered together to worship and sing before God? Wow! But there is not one group of people that's better than another group of people. And we're seeing this in our world today. It's been here in the United States for so long, this prejudice, this racial hatred. And we're seeing it now. Now, can I just say something? There are people that are saying Black Lives Matter. And I just want to explain something to you. Black Lives Matter. And then there are other people saying, oh, but all lives matter. Why are we arguing with that? Yes, of course, all lives matter. The Black Lives Matter sign, the intention of that is to say, we matter too. Just like the white people, just like the Korean people, just like other people, we matter just as much, and we're not treated equally. That's what that's about, okay? So this all lives matter. They're not saying that all lives don't, okay? So keep that in mind. That is the political movement. That is part of what they are proclaiming. But also, there's a history that African-American lives did not matter like others. And of course, that's true in other ethnicities as well. And there is no place for that in the gospel. There is no place for hatred. There's no place for thinking of yourself better than you should. And this is what Paul is addressing to the church right from the beginning. You cannot put one group in front of another and say, oh, the Jews, you got to be like the Jews. You can't do that. Let's look at another scripture that backs that up. Romans 12:3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and that is one body, one church body, one the big church, whether they be African Americans, they are part of our body, or Korean, or Mexican, or Irish, or whomever, okay? They each have different functions. We, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. The same blood of Christ that flows through me flows through you. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. You are all one. Now, I want to address again, and this is something that I have addressed many times in the church, what the purpose of Jesus in coming was. He was fulfilling the roles of Israel. He was bringing the kingdom and opening it up for everyone, becoming the light of the world, not just of the Jewish people. And it was available to everyone who believes. And he proclaimed what he was doing in his very first days of his public ministry. And we've read it before from Luke chapter 4. Verses 18 and 19, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What is this purpose? Amongst all of these words, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. One of the things that I've been saying this week in the short messages are that we as Christians cannot stand with oppressors. Jesus came to rescue those who have been beaten down. This is the very first sermon that I shared with you. This is the picture of my life. The certain man who was walking and was left for dead by thieves, he was beaten. And the Good Samaritan, a group that was looked down on ethnically, he uses in this parable, the Good Samaritan comes and rescues him. This is the message of Jesus. And he says, for you to go and do likewise, to be a rescuer, to rescue the oppressed, the widow, the orphan, the oppressed, people. The African American community has been oppressed historically in this country. We cannot stand as Christians proclaiming our Christianity against any group of people or in favor of an authoritarian rule. We can't do that. We need to stand with the oppressors to rescue them, to help them. That's something that we should be considering. Now, in this police brutality, and that's what it was, a policeman knelt on George Floyd's neck for 9 seconds. We will leave it to the courts to decide the outcome of that. And we don't need to hate this police officer either. We need to pray for him. We need to pray for all four of them. But we need to use it as a springboard to get some equality in the United States. We as Christians need to pray. Our first and most powerful job is to pray for those that are oppressed. We need to pray for the African community that they will be treated equally like other people. I have seen so much racism in my lifetime and see it now and in the court system. And we need to pray against racism. Racism is an evil that says that one group of people is better than the other. There's just no room for that. That is not the message of Jesus. We need to be in prayer that people will be received equally. Can it happen? I pray it does. I pray it happens in the lifetime of my grandchildren, that people are treated equally. Come, Lord, let that happen. Now, I don't want to continue too long. My time is over. And I know this has been an unusual sermon, but it's an unusual sermon because we need to affect the world. And I want you to see that on Pentecost, that's what the Holy Spirit did, came into the world with power and said, there's no one group that's better than the other. And came in with power in a spiritual way. But you can't separate that spiritual way from the way in the world. We are in this world. And I believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit and through our prayers, we hold back the enemy. I think we have seen this in the coronavirus. And we need to see it now that African Americans and other minority groups are treated equally. And we need to be rescuers of the oppressed. How? I don't know. I don't have the answer for you. I do know we can pray. That's got to be first. And let God deal with us. And maybe if we just do it one by one and just continue to love those that are different from us, those who have been beat down, and continue to use the power of the Holy Spirit to speak the truth of the gospel to everyone. Amen. Regardless of ethnicity, race, regardless, okay? That we need to speak the truth of the gospel. Come, Holy Spirit. And let me finish with this. What is the language to speak now? my culture is not like the African American culture exactly. We're close, but we have differences. Holy Spirit, empower me to speak their language so they can understand your love. Let me show it. Let me reflect it. I will say that the African American community is full of Christians. They may see things differently, but it is already full of Christians. And let me speak the right language to the police to say, you got to serve and protect, not punish. Amen. I know that was a little different. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, come Holy Spirit, let us speak the language of the person that needs to hear. Empower us to do it. Come Holy Spirit. Lord, let me reflect you in my life. Help me to love people, to be a rescuer of those oppressed in this world and oppressed by the Spirit. Father God, bring your peace, hold back the enemy, and in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the enemy and his hatred and this racism. Lord, remove it from our nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.